Good morning, this is KCS Theatre Society discussing Blue Orange by Joe Pennell, and it is Thursday the 16th of June.
Morning everyone. Let's start, if we may, by talking about the character of Bruce, the junior psychiatrist in the play. What were people's thoughts on his character, his story, how he was presented to us, and also Luke Norris's performance? That role.
I think from the start we're sort of made to empathize with him because he seems like the most like normal kind of character in the play. He seems like the most approachable and you can sort of identify yourself with him. So from the start you build like quite a strong relationship with that character. But as it goes on, you sort of start doubting your initial opinion of him as he starts getting more agitated and loses control and like he loses his professionalism as it goes on. Yeah.
Is it believable when he sort of turns on Christopher in that?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I think it is quite easy. I think at the beginning, it's quite easy to see the kind of bad cop and the good cop, the good psychiatrist and the bad psychiatrist. And I think it makes it more believable that he does turn on him in the end and that it's not just a kind of linear character. I found. And that was really interesting. Like, you didn't expect that to happen, especially when he's just completely going against all psychiatric practice and just calling him an idiot. And
I found myself questioning, the junior doctor's sanity at some points as well. The senior doctor, what's his name?
Smith.
Yeah, Smith. He was trying to convince.
Robert.
Yeah, Robert. That Dr. Bruce was actually. Influencing him in a negative way, and I think to some extent I agreed with that. But I generally felt more empathy for Dr. Bruce than Dr.
Smith.
For me, the tipping point was when the professor completely lost it and characterised his junior as being unprofessional, crawling round him, sucking up by inviting him to dinner, being basically intellectually lazy. And I thought, yes. Actually, suddenly the play shifted for me, and I thought, yes, I have been deluded by the script and by this really quite affable man.
I thought it was a massive... It sort of lifted the lid on careers where people have a duty of care to others and yet are still ambitious in their own sort of career paths. And there are so many different careers that have that difficult combination of responsibility to others but also a sense to, you know, develop one's own reputation and standing in career, and it's very high pressured in that sense.
Certainly throughout the play his focus shifts from Chris, who's looking after at the start, and then at the end he's saying, look, for the both of us this is what's best. And then you start to question, does he really have Chris's best interests at heart at all by the end?
Which makes it even more poignant when Chris refers to Bruce as his only friend when he's talking to Smith.
Because he can't eradicate his self-interest. It's sort of... Yeah.
So how contemporary did it feel to you all? Did it... it's actually a sort of period piece in the... it's written in the year 2000. And there are touches as you go through it that make you think, oh, this is not quite of today.
Yeah. I think the pre-smoking ban.
Yeah.
I was thinking. But in the age of benefit cuts, it's... still quite applicable. Not benefit cuts, medical, like NHS cuts. Yeah. So there aren't enough beds. We need to do what we can to get them out and just do what the guidelines are set. It's sort of like the bureaucracy is getting in the way of their actual job as well, stopping them from providing a duty of care.
Yes. And were there any other ways in which it felt of today?
Flip phone.
The other questions.
Classic naughty
experiment.
But to be fair, if he was his age, he might still have a flip phone.
For me, the whole strand about how we understand people from different ethnic communities was really important, and I'm not convinced that they really explored that properly. But what an interesting idea that maybe we don't even understand the language and the mythologizing that goes on in communities that are not the dominant white Anglo-Saxon community, that we perhaps misunderstand the fantasy storytelling. I thought that was a really serious, interesting idea.
Yeah. Absolutely. At the start, when Dr. Smith was introducing that idea, it sort of seemed ludicrous, and Bruce was sort of questioning his ideas. I think at one point he said his ideas were bad, or used a different word, but by the end, you could see how the two doctors were sort of flapping about so much when they were talking about Chris's ethnicity that actually it could, with paranoia, it could seriously affect someone's mental health. And with the skinheads being racist towards him, it certainly held some truth by the end, even though at the start it seemed like a silly idea.
And that was sort of emphasised in this production, wasn't it, by the way that when he wasn't on stage, when he was being talked about, Christopher was kind of roaming around. And so we were always very conscious of him, weren't we? At the points where the two doctors are talking about him like he's a, you know, a statistic or a, you know, that was a choice of this production. As was the sort of interesting looking down into the another room. What did we think of that?
Oh, you mean under the direct stage?
Yeah, the sort of
love walking through it.
I really loved that.
Where do we think those design ideas might come from?
Well, it was it. Give us the idea of the therapy going session going completely wrong because we walk in and everything's just all over the place, and there's right on the whiteboard and it looks a little bit disturbing, like unsafe and anger or something, or paranoia or jealousy. I can't remember exactly what it said. And there's orange everywhere, which obviously there was at the end of the production we saw on the stage. That was actually the stage, and it was interesting how they turned the lights on and off throughout, so you could see it coming through the windows.
Mm-hmm. It was a bit like we were in the hospital, in the ward.
You could also see, like, because we got there like fairly early, we could see people still walking through and exploring the thing. It sort of gave you like perhaps a doctor's eye view of how helpless your patients are, I suppose. Seeing them wandering around and being a bit confused. A bit creepy.
Also the idea that Christopher was almost like a caged beast because he was walking around in the pit, like around the actual setting.
Yeah. I think it was a really clever idea to make us walk through the set beforehand because it sort of gives the director a chance to preempt the audience's mood and manipulate it so that he knows like how they might take the play afterwards, because it leaves you sort of wondering and it leaves you more attentive, like, oh, is this how it's going to end? Is this how it's going to start? I wonder what could happen over the course of this piece. So I think it was a really smart directorial move.
So what about the performances then? These roles were famously played originally by, does anyone know the actors?
Jouet Ajayi-Dufour.
That's right.
Bill Nighy and another guy from Love Actually, Andrew Lincoln.
Andrew Lincoln, yeah. And we had David Haig, Daniel Kaluuya, Luke Norris. Mm. What do we make of the performances?
Especially like the performance of the actor who played Christopher. Because he was so relaxed at the beginning. He was just so... I really struggled to see that he could be anything other than relaxed. And then just had this massive turning point of just being completely mad, shouting and being scared and being and just not paying attention at all at one point, because they were, if you remember, there the two doctors were shouting at each other and they said, oh no, sorry Christopher, and he looks up and says, oh no, speak amongst yourselves. He just completely wasn't listening at all. It was really interesting.
Oh, I thought he was listening. I thought it was just kind of like, speak amongst yourself, you're clearly not speaking amongst yourself, but you're shouting at each other and I can hear every word that you're saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he was threatening too, wasn't he? He was really up in people's faces.
But he's very... Yeah. I think it's very hard to play a character like that believably, with the different ticks and the mannerisms.
He did provide comic relief though. From the more intense scenes.
Yeah. Sometimes with those moments of kind of like piercing clarity, you know, and you kind of think, oh, hang on, is this the most sensible character in the play? In some moments, don't you? You know, particularly that moment that you referenced when he cuts through all of their sort of babble that they're talking to each other, and of course that's part of the knife edge of the play's writing. What's actually going on with him? What is his situation? We're never quite sure, are we? And that was in the performance, the way he was both quite incisive in particular moments and then quite volatile.